Let's speak next to a gentleman from Rail Future, Bruce Williamson. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Tell us about your organisation first.
Well, we're an independent campaign group that campaigns quite simply for a better railway, not just for passengers, but for freight as well. You know, we want to see more lorries taken off the road. We want to see cheaper fares. We want to see lines reopened and a better service generally for passengers. But as you might imagine, it's an uphill struggle. We've got a lot of work to do.
Is it a romantic idea to achieve what you've said, or can it really be achieved, Bruce, with the kind of investments you can realistically expect?
Well, yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there with the word investment. That's the sort of the key to pretty much all of rail's ills is long-term sustained investment, because that's really why we're in the position we're in with the railways, that we suffered from decades of underinvestment, and we're sort of playing catch-up now. But, I mean, you look to other countries, some other countries have fantastic rail services, so, you know, clearly it is possible with the political will.
Is it possible to get there from here in the sense that so much has changed in the last two or three decades that we couldn't, for example, renationalise the railways? I don't know if that's one of the policies you would support.
No, it's not. We're sort of agnostic on a renationalisation, because, you know, some of our members are Conservatives, some of our members are Labour supporters. But, you know, it's certainly possible. In fact, we've seen it happen, haven't we, with the East Coast Main Line, which has been... the franchise has failed three times there, and it's been put back into public operation with some quite satisfactory results. So fans of renationalisation will point to that and say, look, it can be done, and clearly we did it in 1948, so it's possible. Where we are now, though, you know, is actually quite a good news story for the railways. We've seen massive growth in passenger numbers over the last 20 years. The number of people using the railways has doubled. So someone is doing something right, I think, on the railways.
I discovered last week that I could actually get some sort of a network card for Southeastern. That's the one I use the most. Not advertising, it's just a fact. And nobody had told me about it. and that would substantially reduce the annual cost of my travel. And I was having a conversation about this with a colleague of mine in London, who was quite surprised by how inexpensive that journey from central London to Tunbridge Wells took. On the other hand, there's another route I can think of. It's only 18 miles, and it's 50% more expensive. It's half the distance and twice as expensive as this one. Where's the logic? Is it simply supply and demand?
No, it's more sort of historical quirks, I think, really. You have to go back to the days of British Rail and when passenger numbers were dwindling and they wanted to close lines, and it was realised that we had to sort of subsidise some lines for sort of social gain reasons, and that meant that different lines got different degrees of subsidy. And then I suppose when you privatised it, that thing was inherited, and then HS2 was launched, and that was a premium service, so you got to charge a bit more for that, and you just end up with this sort of tangled web of fares, which is definitely something that needs to be addressed. And, you know, the overall, the level of fares is it's certainly way too high. There's no doubt about that. And that might be one of the things that's starting to drive people off the railways, or at least, you know, that growth I was talking about, which we've seen over the last 20 years, it appears to be starting to sort of level off now. So maybe we've reached the point where the passengers can't stand any more increases in fares.
We had a couple of callers, in fact, one of my guests, who said scrap HS2, that's the high-speed rail link, and spend that money on perhaps less glamorous local services. What's your view?
Well, I think we need HS2 because we need the capacity. But I mean, I think we shouldn't see it as an either or thing. We should see it. We need both. We need this investment in local lines and new trains and extra capacity on the existing lines, as well as thinking to the future and putting in some new high speed lines to sort of supplement the overcrowded East Coast and West Coast main lines.
Is there anything inherently wrong with an increase in private car usage?
Well, yeah, because, you know, we have a congested road network. Your previous caller was talking about how long it took to get into London from Kent, you know. With pollution and the cost of the economy, and people don't like the noise of busy roads next to them. So rail has, huge advantages in terms of, you know, land use and pollution and safety. And, you know, that's why, you know, one of the reasons why I'm a member of Rail Future, because we want to promote a growing railway and take the pressure off the roads.
Is it realistic to think about reopening branch lines, the small lines that might prevent those who come to our studios in Tunbridge Wells from having to drive?
Yes, it's absolutely realistic. We've seen the sadly all too rare examples of reopenings, which have proved to be hugely successful, mostly in Wales and Scotland, actually. But there's the Borders Railway, which is a huge success. The Ebbw Vale line, the Ebbw Valley line, that's exceeded expectations. Almost all of them have exceeded expectations. So, you know, opening, obviously not every branch line is reopenable, because some of them were never viable in the first place, because there was a bit of railway mania way back in the day. But many of the lines that were closed under Beeching would be viable if they were reopened. And it's, you know, I think it is a reasonable aspiration in many cases.
Thanks very much indeed. That's Bruce Williamson from Rail Future, who does believe it's feasible to reopen local branch lines in order to reduce the dependence on the car for those more provincial journeys. Is that credible? Do you believe that?